We've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Good morning. Happy Saturday to everybody out there. This is the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN, and I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports on Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. You guys know where it is. I do my show from Letterman's Jacket Room off to the right-hand side, the only place where you can get hooked up with all your Letterman's Jacket goodness, get the patches put on, Bible verses, right, whatever you want on that bad boy. It's the only place to come and get it. And also, they got baseball specials. It's baseball season. Seeing a few baseball coaches come in here and buy some equipment. So, this is spring is coming up soon. Right, what are we looking at? 71 degrees? Was a high of 80 today? Yesterday was absolutely gorgeous. Thanks to our Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating weather report. See a little segue that I threw in there. Yeah, beautiful weather. It's going to drop to 67, according to my iPhone, on Monday. So enjoy these next couple days. It's absolutely beautiful out there. If you're unfamiliar with the show, or you're just checking it out, or you are a longtime listener or poking around, this is a big show. This is the Celland Arena issue. Tons of good stuff yesterday, a lot of good stuff today. This is going to be a basketball-heavy show, as you can imagine. If you miss any part of any of the other shows, we've had a great year so far. You could go back to 1430ESPNFresno.com under podcast. Boom, the shows are right there. Also, there's a lot of shows that have been recorded on YouTube. The audio is fantastic on those. Fantastic. The video's pretty good. Right? Showing the setup that we have here at First String Sports. So go back and listen to any episodes you miss, or heck, you could go back to this episode. We're going to have 2 full hours of high school sports talk. We have a new sponsor that I definitely want to highlight here, Fresno and Clovis Chrysler Dodge Jeep and Ram. They have 2 locations, one in Fresno on 6162 North Blackstone, and one in Clovis on Herndon Avenue on 395 is the actual address. So thanks to them. Thanks also to the foundation at Fresno County Office of Ed. They've done an incredible job, like always, at Celland Arena. They put on a fantastic event. I guarantee it, there's nothing like this in the state of California. 12 Central Section champions crowned in 2 days. It is an extravaganza. 10 o'clock till 10 o'clock. Man, it's an amazing event. It's absolutely my favorite. I also want to give a shout-out to Phil's deal with his Student Athlete of the Week, Phil Bonatti, 1430 ESPN Student Athlete of the Week. That is a really neat thing that we do here at the station. You can nominate any student athlete, bring him in for an interview. There's a dinner at the end. We post stuff on social media. So just want to mention that once again. So, yep, Celland Arena. History was made last night. Not once or twice, but 3 times. I'm going to throw out 3 dates for you guys. 1939, 1962, and 1947. That was the history. Those were the years, the last time that the boys' championships were won from Arosi, 1939, McLean, 1962, and Clovis High, 1947, respectively. That was the last time they won a championship. Well, no mas. Starting a new legacy. All 3 of those schools won yesterday, starting a new streak. Now, there's some mention about McLean, whether they, you know, the last time they actually was in a game was 66. But they won in 62 and 61, according to Central Section historian Bob Barnett, who was there. And you will definitely not miss him when he's at Celland Arena, wearing his blue hat, wearing his satin jacket. That dude definitely knows how to dress. So I'm gonna go with Bob on that one. So McLean has won a championship in 1962. So yesterday, 6 champions crowned. Those were the even divisions, 6-4-2. Tonight we have 5-3-1. I'm going to break down some of those games from yesterday and preview today's games. But let's talk about who's coming on the show. 5 different guests are coming on, all via phone. But there's a reason because of that. There's a reason, because these guys are all related to yesterday's games at Celent or previewing today's games. So after the break, I'm going to bring on Phil Benanti, who's been my play-by-play guy. Broadcasted two games yesterday, the McLean and Sanger West game, and then also the Clovis and Atascadero game. Those were the 4 o'clock and 8 o'clock games. And we're going to be broadcasting two more, both of the Division I games. So Phil's coming on. We're going to talk about what we saw yesterday, preview a little bit of tonight's games as well. Phil does an incredible job. Again, if you can't make any of those, any of the games tonight, be sure to check us out. Phil, yeah, he does an amazing job doing the play-by-play. After that, we do have Lee Mayberry after Phil. Lee Mayberry, the head boys basketball coach at Clovis High, is coming on. I believe this is Lee's third time on the show this year. First-year head coach, and what a dream season for him. His staff has done an amazing job. They downed Atascadero last night. Clovis was the 2 seed, Atascadero the 1. 68-47. Now, it was a 21-point win, but that game was close. It was a 2-point game at halftime. Just an incredible, incredible second half, especially defensively for the Cougars. Played an incredible game. Just lights out. Lights out. Atascadero came in with a good shooting team, fundamental. Zaire Harbin was amazing last night. Scored 19 points. Damon Jackson Jr. impressed the heck out of me. Had 16 total rebounds. Not bad for a guard. 14 defensive rebounds. He was an absolute beast. We're going to break that game down a little bit more. Actually, with Phil, we'll talk about it, and then with Lee. So lots of Clovis basketball talk, and they definitely deserve it. At the top of our number two, we're going to go D1 for a couple segments. We're going to preview the games tonight. We got St. Joe's head coach Tom Mott coming on to talk about their matchup with Buchanan. It's happening tonight, 8 o'clock, defending D1 champs, number 4 in the state. Tom's kind enough to join us. Actually came up last night supporting the Coastal teams, supporting Atascadero, and Santa Maria plays today as well. We're going to see how much information we're going to get from Tom. I'm going to ask him some strategies, what Buchanan does really well that they're going to have to counteract. Excited to talk to Tom. And then another Clovis coach is coming on, Cooper Steele. Big game tonight. Cougars are taking on Clovis West at 6. You know what happened last year, that overtime game that Clovis West was able to hold on for the victory. They split in the regular season or the track, and they got a really good shot tonight against Clovis West. That game is going to be absolutely phenomenal. And finally, around 11:43-ish, mentioned Arosi. They had not won a boys basketball central section championship or a valley championship since 1939. Jeremy Gomez is going to be coming on to talk about his Arosi Cardinals, who won D6. Historic win for the program. Tell you what, seeing the crowd behind the bench from Arosi yesterday was amazing. They had a great football team this year. Lost to Minarets in the championship game. Arosi brings a crowd. One of those one-school towns in Tulare County that we love to cover. So, yeah, Jeremy was a fun interview. He was not shy of the camera. So, you know, after the games, Kevin Miller does an amazing job as the MC, brings all the teams up to the all roads lead to Celent, does an interview, we get to take pictures, then you go back to the locker room, and there's a media room where all the TV guys in Fresno B and all the other media outlets can interview the coaches, and Jeremy was a great interview. He's a really good, yeah, I think you guys are going to enjoy it. Good story there. All right, so let's recap all those games from yesterday as quick as possible, because we're going to bring on Phil in about 10 minutes or so. In D6 girls, Foothill defeated Exeter 59-47. And the games after that, so I did mention the Arosi. Did I even give the score? I don't think I did. The Arosi game when they beat Summit Charter Collegiate Academy. That score was 57-42. Michael Corrales had 17. For Rossi, Romero Garcia had 15 for them. One of the things I love about broadcasting at Cellnor Arena are the stats. Guys, we get stats after every quarter, and I'm not just talking like points and rebounds and free throws and threes and all that stuff. It's everything. It's a college statistical page. Blocks, plus minus, shootings by period, turnovers, points in the paint. So good stuff here. So Rossi over Summit Charter, 57-42. In the D4 girls, Torres, congrats to them for a 34-23 win to capture the D4 girls basketball title. Interesting game. We talk a lot about how difficult it is to score at Cellnor Arena, to shoot, and definitely was. Torres, Jalen Mitchell, she played really well. She's a standout senior, scored 13, had 10 rebounds. Those 10 rebounds put her at exactly 1,000 for her career. So she is a 1,000 basketball player. Congrats to Torres on that win. Tellera Union, just got to throw this out there. They shot 8 of 51 from the field. 8 of 51. Oh, my gosh. That was just tough sledding for them. But congrats to Torres. All right, so the game that we had broadcast, McLean 61, Sanger West 57 was the final. It was a competitive game. Very competitive. It's tied at 57. McLean ball with about, I think it's 10.9 seconds. Ball was in the backcourt. And Kayvon Butcher, their leading scorer, who was really good last night, quick little guard, received the inbounds pass, dribbled down, and a lot of people didn't hear it. With 2 seconds left, there was a foul called as he's driving to the hoop, and he actually made the layup. And I think everybody thought in the arena that they had taken the lead on that shot. But there was a foul call before that, a little hand check. Sunk two free throws. Sanger West tried to throw it down court, threw it away, got the ball into Bircher again, made two more free throws, game over. Big celebration for McLean, deservedly so. Mitchell Davis-Chachere did an amazing job this season. The first Central Section boys basketball title since 1962. Sanger West, great story, great year from them. Just wasn't enough in that rematch. I guess you could say the rubber game, the third game between those two programs. Sierra Pacific with their second straight girls Division II title. They beat Bakersfield Christian 64-48. Interesting enough, Sierra Pacific actually lost their first 7 games of the season before going on to win their second straight Central Section Championship, so congrats to them. And then the game that we did, the Division II final, Clovis defeated Atascadero 68-47. Just some great games, some great performances, I should say, in that one. They held Shea Buckley, who was averaging 22 points a game for Atascadero, the Greyhounds, held him to 14 points. Held them to 8 of 30 shooting from beyond the arc. So great win for Clovis. We're going to be talking about that game with Phil and then with Coach Lee Mayberry before the end of the hour. Okay, a couple things to mention tonight, or I guess going on right now. D5 girls, Rosamond and Santa Ynez, 12 o'clock, D5 boys, Santa Maria and Kalinga. That's a 1-versus-2 game. D3 at 2 o'clock, Emmanuel and Shafter are playing. I think Emmanuel's a top 6 or 7 team in the entire section playing in D3. Emmanuel girls program gunning for their third Central Section title under Lauren LeBeau. D4, this is going to be a great game. Sorry, D3, boys, 4 o'clock, CVC and Tulare. It's a battle of 27-4 teams. Super pumped about that matchup. Coach Mark Hatton seeking his first Central Section title, the boys' all-time winningest coach, Josh Bergman, who took over the program 2 years ago. They got beat by Tulare Union earlier in the year, but that's going to be an excellent game. Can't wait to watch that one. I want to mention soccer before we take a break. Soccer championships on Thursday. There were some really good matchups, some really good games. Congrats to Sanger for beating Clovis High 2-0 in the D1 boys game. Sanger was the 3 seed, Clovis the 5. Their first title, how about this? I didn't know this. Their first D1 title in any sport since 1976. crazy. That's wild. Buchanan girls, they fell to Garces in their championship game. Tough loss for them. They were undefeated before going into that game. They still got state, so the season's not over. But congrats to Garces for winning the girls' soccer title. And wrestling's happening down in Bakersfield right now. The state championship, the tournament's Buchanan, is well on their way to winning another state championship. The Empire, as they call themselves. They're just extremely balanced. I think they're favored in three events. So, yep, they're most likely going to win another state championship. All right, so more sell and talk. We're going to take a break right now. We're going to call up Phil Bonatti. We're going to talk about what we saw yesterday and preview a little bit about what we think we're going to see today. You're listening to the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. All right, Selling Arena Edition. It's one of my favorite episodes all year. It's certainly my favorite high school event, probably my favorite sports event. I'm just keeping it real. I just love the pageantry. I love the excitement. I love being down on courtside and listening to the coaches coach. And yeah, it's just an amazing event. It's put on by amazing people. 12 championships are played over a two-day period. And by my side, to my left, on the phone right now, is Phil Bonatti, who provided the play-by-play from the McLean and Sanger West game and the Clovis and Atascadero game. We're also doing the Clovis West girls and then the St. Joseph and Buchanan boys game following that one. Phil, good morning, my friend. How you doing?
Morning, Paul. How we doing?
I'm doing awesome. All right, I had to really just get through some of those games that we saw yesterday really quickly, and I wanted to get your opinion, and of course, we're going to be talking with Coach Mayberry as well. But let's start with that McLean and Sanger West game. Ended up being actually the closest of the six yesterday. Lots of storylines going into that one. They split in the regular season. We follow McLean a lot this year, the historic win for their program last night. Felt a little bit like controlled chaos on the court, but an extremely competitive game. What are your takeaways from watching that game last night?
Yeah, you know, impressive athleticism from both sides. What McLean did was really impressive, though, because in that game, they pretty much led for most of it, never allowed Sanger West to take a lead in that game. And I thought defensively, they had a really good game plan of frustrating Sanger West, especially in the paint early, exploiting the foul trouble that some players were facing in that game. And I think what stood out is, of course, Kevon Bercher, his play, being able to get clutch buckets and layups down the stretch, but also Demetrius Simon's athleticism, him fronting some of those passes and getting in the way of those passing lanes. And McLean, they are a athletic, fun team to watch, and a deserved winner last night.
No, I agree. Yeah, you mentioned Simon, so we're going to definitely talk about Bercher. And, you know, Brooks hit some big shots, some three-pointers last night as well for them, Liddell Brooks. Simon picked up some fouls early. He picked up three right in the first quarter that you rarely see, and that was all he committed. So just kind of talk about him and his ability to play defense and stay in the basketball game, and just kind of, and just, you know, I think he saved a pass from going out of bounds once and turned it into some points. So talk about his play and his ability not to foul out in that one.
Well, that's got to take maximum trust from his coach, right? To pick up three fouls after a quarter, the last one being with 2 seconds to go in the quarter. And you as a coach, if you're Mitchell Davis Shashere, sitting there having a conversation with yourself of, I know Demetrius is going to be so huge in this game with his ability to be big on both ends, but you have to have ultimate trust in him to not commit another foul and have him eliminate himself from that basketball game, right? And so tremendous control from Demetrius and tremendous trust between coach and player, and on the biggest stage, that takes a lot for a coach to trust a guy in a game like that magnitude. So I think that's the square one where you go to in terms of how that situation played out. But it was really, really remarkable to see the gamble pay off.
And McClain was up, I think, 48-38, about midway in the second half, maybe a little bit later in the second half. So there's some real wild sequences. That game ended up being tied at 57 with 10.9 seconds left. Highlanders ball taking it out. You know where the ball was gonna find, Bercher in that last sequence. Just kind of walk us through those last 11 or so seconds from our perspective, what we were able to watch.
Right, so Sanger West had a foul to give in that 10 seconds, of course, leading up to it. It was bucket to bucket to tie it up again. And so McClain, able to draw the foul, which was one that led to the fourth team foul for Sanger West. So with 6 seconds left, inbound to the backcourt, and Bercher kind of goes full steam, blows past his defender, and then from behind, Sager West fouled him with about 2 seconds to go, which is wild because they thought they hit the basket. It was a high arcing layup off the glass, kind of floater off the glass that Bercher hit, and people were celebrating, but no basket, 2 seconds to go, free throws coming, and Bercher nailed both of them in an incredible fashion. And then McLean's defense at that 2 second inbound, where Sanger West had a hope and a prayer to get it down court and try to tie it, or at least maybe game winner with the buzzer beater three. But those guys didn't allow an easy pass from that out of bounds on the other end of the court. And it's just what won them the game. Two more free throws for Bercher icing it. And yeah, McLean, a winner for the first time in like 60 plus years.
Yeah. 11 of 12 from the line, scored 21 points. I was impressed. He's got some quick little leapers as well. His jump shot, he gets really high on it. He's tough to defend. I thought, Phil, you were right about the defense. We saw a couple looks defensively from McLean. I think some of the defensive strategy from Davis Oshere just kind of messed with Sanger West a little bit. We heard a lot about them throughout the year. Unfortunately, we weren't able to broadcast one of their games. Came in at 29-3. So they knew how to win basketball games. But I just thought the defense from McLean just really threw off the rhythm from Sanger West.
We absolutely did. And what do they say, Paul? Defense wins championships? Is that what it is, right? And it was certainly what sealed the victory down the stretch in a tight ball game like that, when you need a stop, when you need those kind of stops. They never wavered and never gave up that lead, which I always wonder when a team is trying to come back and trying to take a lead for the first time, if it goes differently emotionally, if Sanger West can just get over that hurdle. I know a couple free throws were available for them down the late part of the game that they could have taken the lead on. And I got to imagine maybe mentally it's a little different story for Sanger West if they are able to just get a lead in that game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, there were some free throws missed late. They unfortunately went 15 of 27 from the line in last night's game. All right, let's move to Clovis. Just a monumental win for that program. And, it kind of shows how much I know. Before the game, we were sitting in the room having a burrito and talking about the different scenarios that could play out. And, a lot of people were deservedly so talking about Atascadero and, the big 70-50 win they had over Clovis on December 1st, and just kind of playing out, well, Clovis did beat Buchanan, but they lost twice to Clovis East. Like, which Clovis team are we going to see on the court tonight? And man, they played about as good a basketball game, I think, as they could play last night. Just what are some of your takeaways, the defensive pressure that they were able to apply on Atascadero and their execution offensively?
Well, Clovis ramping up the pressure early, forcing a lot of early threes, making those three-pointers happen early for them. And then on the flip side, Atascadero just couldn't get an open three to hit for them early, and that can lead to frustration. And so the shots weren't coming easy for Tescadero all night. That defensive pressure, Sayer Harbin was all over the place in that basketball game. Jackson Jr., you mentioned on the broadcast, was cleaning up the glass and avoiding those second opportunities for Tescadero as well. Scarborough able to draw a lot of fouls early inside, especially with Mitchell for Tescadero getting in the foul trouble early. And it just felt like in the rhythm of that game, Clovis had a lot of answers for this basketball game, which is remarkable considering they lost by 20 to that team, what, a couple months ago. So just a remarkable turnaround from the first time they played to the second time they played. And these players, I don't know many teams in the Valley that may have beaten Clovis last night with the way they played.
It was fun, Phil, from our perspective. Again, we're right on top of the court. We're able to watch the benches and the coaches and everybody interact that way. But the matchup between Harbin and Buckley, who averaged 22 points a game coming into this one, there was a few sequences where Clovis was able to, you know, overload one side, get the ball to Harbin on the left side and create. And what I really enjoyed about that was the fearlessness that I thought Clovis High played. They were not timid. They took it to the basket early. There were a couple clutch shots. You know, Jackson hit a clutch three at the end of the third quarter. But, you know, just talk about the fearlessness that you saw Clovis High play with last night.
Yeah, it just didn't really have a moment where it was deer in the headlights, right? Maybe at the end of that second quarter, it was getting a little squirrely as the Tescadero tied it up and took a lead quickly in that second quarter. But then Clovis, it was really important, I think, for them to bounce back from that and have that 2-point lead at the half. And then, of course, they come out in the third quarter and they're extending that lead and eventually just pull away in that second half. But interesting, I thought that was a key part of the game, that second quarter where Atescadero takes a lead on a big 3-pointer and things could go differently because Clovis is, you know, they were up by 8 or 9 early. Atescadero takes that lead and then Clovis gets back into that lead right before the half. And I think mentally that was a really big part of the game for them. And then obviously second half adjustments and them continuing to go on their way with how they stretched that lead defensively, forcing so many turnovers. And once again, those second chances weren't there for Atescadero all night.
Yeah, I agree. Talking with Phil Benigni, a couple more questions for Phil. Second year calling games at Celland Arena. We talk a lot about the court and the dimensions and the shooting. Just kind of what makes it difficult, in your opinion, to score the basketball? For me, I just think the players find themselves in unusual positions, right, on the court. They'll catch the ball about 10 feet away, and they'll shoot it, and it'll be about, you know, 3 feet short, right? A little bit of exaggeration, right. But I just feel like the depth perception, different things. Am I over-exaggerating? I'm just curious about your perception of playing basketball at Celland Arena.
Well, it's not just the perception of what you're doing on the court, but the perception of what you're doing on the bench too. Like guys are not knowing where to go to check in. You don't know, you know, where to, you know, sit down on the bench. It's not what you're used to. You don't know where to look for your family. You know, you kind of trying to find out where they're sitting. You know, the student section's probably not in a normal spot. It's all disorienting. It's all different. And it's the teams that take advantage of those warmups early that can benefit from that. Of course, it's such, people forget the game within the game is the first 20 minutes of warmups. That's where the game can be won sometimes, especially with knowing how you visualize that basket when you're shooting at it and you got all that open space behind you. So it's real important for those players to just really hone in. And yeah, it's a different animal, especially when it comes to playing there. So,
all right, so last question for you, Phil. Let's focus on Clovis and Clovis West girls at 6 o'clock. You and I will be on the call for that one. Rematch of last year's championship game. What are you most looking forward to in that one?
Well, there's so many storylines. There's so many ways this could go. You know, the streak for Clovis West, of course. Everyone wants to talk about it. Is it going to go down this year? It feels like this is as good of an opportunity for Clovis to finally get over the hump that they've been wanting to get over for quite some time. It is going to be an interesting follow of whether we see a changing of the guard or that the old guard wins out again. And I'm going to be fascinated. This is going to come down to the final 4 minutes. And like we saw last year in overtime, was there moments where these players probably had some plays that they want back? And will they take advantage of the opportunities that are presented to them? There's no chance this is going to be a blowout in either direction. This is going to come down to the wire tonight in the D1 girls.
Well, really quick, remember Clovis West went at 19-2 in last year's first quarter. Like, we looked at each other, is this really going to go this way? And then Clovis clawed all the way back to make it a game and send it in overtime. Hey, Phil, we're back at it again in a few more hours, man. I'm excited for today. It's going to be a fantastic day of basketball. What time are you planning on getting there?
Yeah, I'll probably try to get there to 2 o'clock or so. I got some things to take care of this morning, but definitely want to see if I can get down there at 2 or 2:30 and catch some of the D3 action before we get ready for D1, 5:45 pregame. And yeah, it's gonna be a fun doubleheader for us.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for jumping on with me. I really appreciate it. See you soon, Phil.
All right, see you, Paul.
All right, Phil Benanti. We got Lee Mayberry coming on after the break on 1430 ESPN. Got Lee Mayberry on the line right now, head coach at Clovis High. Historic night last night when the D2 championship beating Atascadero. First title since 1947. Coach Mayberry is kind enough to join us this morning. All right, first of all, Coach, first thing that popped into your mind when you woke up this morning was what?
Was, did we really just do that? just really, like, was I dreaming or was this a real, you know, real deal? And I looked over and on the dresser, I've got the ball with the net, and I'm like, yeah, it was real.
When you woke up, you just like feel like you're floating or replaying things in your head. I mean, what's been, you probably got up early, probably weren't able to sleep much, but since you woke up and now, what's kind of been your prevailing thoughts?
No, that was it. It was just, the initial was just, man, I can't believe we did this. So proud of my guys. I'm so happy for them. And then it has been replaying all of the positive, you know. Normally, you know, you're replaying the things you could have done better. And this was a game that, based on the circumstances, I've really just been reliving all the good times and the emotions on the kids and the administration and our coaching staff. And that's really what's been replaying over and over in my mind.
Well, I want to get into some game specifics in just a couple minutes with you. Talk about the basketball and getting the net. I think that's a new thing that Selland Arena is doing this year. So, I mean, that's obviously not the net from the baskets that are out there, but talk about what they give you after the game.
Yeah, so they obviously give you the plaque, and then they gave a ball and a net, which I think is huge. Being a part of a state championship team in high school, that net was huge. And so it, you know, brings me back to those days, and it's even more special now. But I think that's a really class act for them to do, and really happy that they're doing that as part of it now.
Are you going to get the ball signed? What's the plan for the basketball?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's going to get signed and get put in a nice little case and be there for, you know, for forever. So just happy and try to make sure that the kids understood the history of this and that their names and, you know, in the history books.
So after you emerged from the locker room after the game, obviously you were drenched with water. So yeah. How did that feel? And what was like, how exciting was that locker room after the game?
Oh, they were buzzing. They were just on cloud nine, you know, the blood, sweat, and tears, the early hours, the double days, all the stuff that we've done. And it paid off and they saw that. And so just jubilation. They were just so excited. It was great to see that in the kids coming out after the game, parents the same way. Because the thing is, parents, they sacrifice and they commit just like the kids. You know, this isn't a one-way street. This isn't just, you know, the athlete and the coach. Parents, you know, my wife, Anisha, has been unbelievable, you know, sacrificing time, my sacrificing time with the family. So it's a group effort, and we all celebrate as a group, and it was really good to see all the parents just so happy for their kids.
No, it was a sea of blue after the game, and it was much deserved. You get all the kudos that you got. All right, so let's talk specifics about the game. You're probably sick of hearing about that dang game back on December 1st, right? Throw that junk out the window. You're never going to think about that again when they beat you guys. Talking to Coach Felix a little bit after the game, and he said one of the goals for you guys against Atascadero was basically holding them to 10 points a quarter. And guys did that. They scored 47. Actually, they scored 19 total in the second half. Just talk about the preparation and the execution that you saw on the court defensively.
Yeah, so, starting off, Coach Taylor, Coach Sperling, Coach Felix, Coach Sanders do a phenomenal job when we get our prep, our game prep together. And we saw that, this year statistically at Atascadero, they had one game where they won it and they got 58. Other than that, if they were under 58, they didn't win. And so we knew that if we could control pace and slow them down, and again, limit them to 10 or 12 points per quarter, we had a really good shot. And, the kids felt a little disrespected. I didn't, but they did that. We were the number two seed, and our mantra was, well, if that's the way you feel, then you got to go out and show on the floor how you feel. But part of that is sticking to our game plan. And that was part of the game plan, was just hold them to that 10 to 12 points per quarter. And at the end of the game, we think we'll be in a place where we want to be.
All right. So looking at the stats here from the game, and I mentioned it in my opener, I thought about as good a game as Clovis High can play. You guys were just firing all cylinders. A couple things stand out. All right. So Damon Jackson, his rebounding. Let's talk about that. Zero turnovers and 16 rebounds. He was grabbing everything. He was getting at the high point. Atascadero was not getting any second chances when that dude was going up and grabbed the basketball. So talk about his performance last night.
Damon is we've said this all along, that he's been, when he wants to be, our best rebounder. Jackson Scarborough was big last night too. But Damon, when he puts his mind to going and rebounding, And I've always preached to the kids, do what you do well and don't do what you don't do well. And that's one thing he does really well. Damon is a really good shooter, and he's a really good rebounder. And last night he hit a clutch three, and he rebounded his tail off. And that was, like you said, we said limit them to one shot. We played them in December. They had 17 or 18 offensive rebounds. So we said we can't allow that to happen. And Damon took it upon himself to go out there and get that done. He was a warrior last night.
Absolutely. You mentioned Jackson Scarborough. He played really well at 6'9", put himself in some really good positions down on the block, a couple inbounds plays he's able to score in. Defensively, he did a really good job. So talk about his performance last night.
Super proud of Jackson. He has come a long way. He finally, in the beginning it was hard for him a little bit to embrace our vision for him. As the season went along, he started to embrace it, saw some success. And last night, I think, was another, example of that, you can work inside and out, but you got to do both. And we really want to start the inside. So he embraced it and didn't shy away from it. And, he has a high ceiling. He's a long way from being where he's going to be at. But I tell you, if he works the way he did this season and buys in with the next coaching staff after we get done on the state run, he's going to be pretty successful. But last night, just special. He like I said, he embraced going out and being a warrior, rebounding, blocking shots, scoring around the basket. He did all the things we asked him to do. Super proud of him.
And that Mitchell kid on the Atascadero side, man, that dude's a beast. He looks like an NFL linebacker. So he had his hands full with that physical kid.
Man.
He is a man. That's right. All right. How about your number three, though? Sierra Harbin, 19 points. Yeah. He was fearless on the court defensively as well. Did a fantastic job throwing in 6 steals. What impressed you about his game last night?
Well, he's this year, when he's put his mind to it, we've always put him on the best perimeter offensive person. That's been his assignment because he is special defensively. When he locks in offensively, he's that same way. He has the ability to get down. He's so strong and handles the ball so well that it's very difficult if you're a smaller guard, or if you're a bigger guard, he's going to be quicker than you. So it's a tough matchup. for them. But defensively, his instincts and the way that he plays and his, you know, physical abilities makes him super tough and for people to deal with. And like I said, when he follows the game plan and we get him to do what we need him to do, we have nights like we did last night. And, you know, I think he had a bitter taste in his mouth from last year when he was with Central and they lost in overtime, and he didn't want to have that feeling again. And so he took it upon himself to go out there and make sure we didn't have that.
All right, I got to make sure I give this kid a shout out because it was just a great moment for us. Number five, AJ Pedro had to come in off the bench cold and shoot a couple free throws because I don't remember if it was Damon or Anthony who fell after getting fouled, but he came in and that dude just absolutely sank two free throws. How cool was that?
AJ is a stud. He's our best pure shooter on the team. He can come in and knock down threes. I have full confidence, and that's why I selected him to come in and hit those free throws, because I knew that he's going to come knock them down, and he has no problem doing that. I think that AJ is one of our hardest workers, and we have big plans for him going forward. You know, he's just a junior, and like I said, he can really shoot that thing, and so we're expecting big things from him as we go forward.
I like that, man. Just pure confidence, step up, and absolutely just drain those two free throws. That was a cool moment.
Absolutely.
What was the biggest play you thought, Coach? Obviously, you've had time to think about it and replay the game in your head 1,000 times, but what do you think was the key play in last night's win over Atascadero?
I think the key play for me was the out-of-bounds play towards the end when we threw it into Jackson, and he absolutely was just determined to score the ball and turn baseline and went up. And there's two defenders and went up and scored it. I just felt at that time, okay, this is it. We're going to win this game because they're just determined to win this. And Jackson really kind of sets the tone for us for that. So I think that was the moment that I really remember the most.
Yeah, I remember. I think it was the out of bounds was near your bench, right? And he posted up on the block, kind of spread things out.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. Personally, for you, Coach, you mentioned your coaching staff and your wife and the community and the hours, the blood, sweat, and tears, and maybe a little fight here and there. But what did it mean for you to win on that court where you have so many fond memories for yourself playing for Fresno State back in the day?
It was awesome. I mean, like you said, so many great memories in Fallon. I love that place. It's loud. There's energy there. And so to go back and compete was awesome. I told our kids, hey, the last time I competed there was the NIT, you know, when I played and we won. Now, I went back as a assistant coach for Buchanan and we didn't come out on top. But I said, but this is, you know, I'm coming back truly as your head coach. And last time I competed there, I won. So don't break the streak. So they kind of laughed and went out and they got it done. But it was special. I love, like I said, you know, me personally, and I know a lot of the older players wish that all the games were played down there, but we know that's not possible, but we love that place, and it is special.
Got a couple more minutes with Coach Lee Mayberry. If I told you at the beginning of the year that you guys would have won a Central Section championship, you would have said what?
I would have said that you're stretching the truth probably a little bit. I would have said that potentially – with the talent we have, if we come together, we got a chance. But to just say that we would win it, I don't know. We believed in our guys. We trusted our guys. We saw what we had. But we're the first year. And, you know, first year, you got to come in and you know, you got to set the standard. You got to build culture. And those things don't happen overnight. These guys were, you know, collectively only together 4 to 5 months. And so to be able to build that camaraderie and you know, all of those kind of things, it takes time. So that would have been the biggest challenge that I would have told you is I don't know that we can you know, get together and gel. But we did, and it's a credit to our kids and our coaching staff. Phenomenal job on their end.
All right. After the game, where did you go celebrate? It gets kind of late. Those 8 o'clock games are kind of late. What'd you do?
I was whooped, so went home and celebrated with my wife. My daughter flew in from Texas just for the game. My younger son, who coached freshman for us, was there, and then my oldest son was on FaceTime from Montana. And so we had a great moment as a family. And like I said, I was whooped, and it's a great weekend. I'm going to celebrate one of my good friends, Vaughn Webb, you know, being getting his award here, being inducted into it. for CIS, and then, you know, watch Cooper Steele and his girls go get it tonight.
That's right. Clovis Hyde going, trying to get the double dip, the boys and the girls Central Section
Absolutely.
Championship. Yeah, and Vaughn Webb, we're going to try to get him on the air tonight. Vaughn is a big time coach here back in the day. Those Washington Union teams were phenomenal, those state championships as well. So we hope to catch up with Vaughn Webb as
Absolutely.
Well. So, Lee, hey, thanks for jumping on the phone with me this morning and for your availability. It was an amazing run for you guys. It's not over yet. We still got state playoffs coming up next week. But from me to you, I really appreciate you, and it was a fun journey for a lot of people to watch. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Paul. Thank you for having us on, and go Cougars.
Go Cougars, indeed. All right, we'll probably see you tonight.
Yes, sir, you will.
All right, Coach Lee Mayberry, congrats to Clovis since 1947. Good moment. All right, we are going to take a break right now. We got Tom Mott, the head boys basketball coach at St. Joseph. He's coming on to talk about his game tonight against Buchanan on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN.
From Clovis to Kingsburg, from Fresno to Bakersfield and everything in between, we've got you covered. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, your number one source for high school highlights, riveting talk, and hometown heroes. And here is your host, Paul Metters.
Welcome to hour number two, Central Valley Sports Report. Had a great conversation with Coach Mayberry. What a great guy. Got a couple texts from some friends. They're like, ah, Mayberry. Just sounds like just a great guy, and he absolutely is. He knows basketball, played at the Division I level, did a fantastic job with Clovis this year. Congrats to them. Since 1947, they had not won a boys basketball championship. Won a bunch in other events, other sports, I should say. But, yeah, great game last night. Really fun to watch. We got Tom Mott on the line right now, head coach at St. Joe's. Defending D1 champs, certainly no stranger to Selland Arena. They're currently ranked number 4 in the state. They're taking on number 2 Buchanan in a rematch of last year's game at 8 o'clock tonight. We're going to have that game on 1430 ESPN, the grand finale of the two-day extravaganza at Selland Arena. Good morning, Tom. Hey, again, thanks for jumping on, man. I know this is a busy day for you. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely, Paul. Happy to be here.
All right, so you drove up last night to support your other coastal schools, Tascadero last night, and Santa Maria is getting ready to tip off, looks like, in about an hour or so. It's pretty important for you to support your fellow coastal schools, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, came over yesterday afternoon, had a little shoot around, then had some dinner, and then went over and watched the Tascadero. And you know, one of my former players is one of their assistant coaches. You know, their best player, Shea Buckley, his dad played for me back when I was at Mission. So there's definitely a lot of ties. And although we're an hour apart, you know, our guys play against them all the time and real good people on that team. So bummer to see them fall, but they've had a great season. Hopefully they'll continue to have a little run here in state.
You know, now I made that connection. The last name, Buckley. I know that looked familiar from back in your days at Mission
Brian
Prep.
Buckley.
Yep. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, and now that I recognize his game too, that very familiar. He's definitely a scorer. Yeah. He knew. I was impressed with his body control, man. That kid can really score the basketball.
Yeah, you know, Shea had a great career at Tascadero and became their all-time leading scorer, and you know, did it the right way. You know, just always focused, and you know, hit a bunch of big shots throughout the whole entire season, and you know. Clovis played a great game defensively on him and did a good job of taking him out, but he still had a great game.
So you're going to watch Santa Maria, and how do you guys work the food, right? I mean, you got to make sure you get the boys ready to play. Again, a late tip-off. You guys get some dinner in you around 6. What does that look like for you guys?
Yeah, so today after the Santa Maria game at noon, we're going to go to the Olive Garden, one of our former parent of ours is taking the team out to eat there. And then we have an alumni that lives here in Clovis. So we'll just go over to his house and just relax for the rest of the afternoon and probably have some snacks there and then head over to Selland about 6. And, you know, several of the guys are excited. You know, we watched Clovis and Clovis West play last year and maybe the last 2 years. And we're excited to watch them play again because it should be a great girls game right before us.
Absolutely. All right. So let's get into your game tonight against Buchanan, familiar foe. Some familiar schemes. Tom Orlich, obviously, is one of the best coaches in the history of California. You know, I know last year Tom, you guys really focused on Connor Sheets. You did a great job. He was an absolute bucket for the Bears last year. A little more balance this year is Buchanan offensively. Is it kind of easier to scheme against one player like he did last year, or is it more difficult? Or what about going into tonight's game, like scheme-wise? Is it more difficult to try to focus on one guy, or a little bit easier?
Yeah, you know, you're absolutely right. Like last year, the scouting report before the Buchanan game was stop Connor Sheets. You know, he was, you know, really, really good. And so we spent the whole week trying to slow him down. We did a pretty good job of that. And then this year, you know, like you said, there are a lot more balance, a lot more guys that can contribute. So, you know, we've gone back and forth on who their best guy is, and I think all four of our coaches have different views on that. So, you know, they're going to have to be prepared, and there's a lot of weapons that they have that can hurt us.
So what the scouting report and the film, again, it's a full week, and I know Cooper Steele is going to come on next on the show. He's like, this has been the longest week of my life, right? It's a long week of practice and schemes and all that stuff. What does Buchanan do, though, really well that you've seen that you guys are going to try to counteract?
You know, well, they defend. I think that's their calling card. I mean, they control tempo. They really do a great job defensively in the half court. And then offensively, you know, with Dez Patton at the point, like, he does a good job of distributing, getting all their shooters good touches, puts them in good positions to score. So, you know, he's kind of the key that we think we need to slow down and keep him contained because he gets everybody else going.
Is there a comparable team that maybe you have played this year to Buchanan, or are they just kind of a different animal that you guys are used to?
Yeah, I mean, it's great. I mean, in a 30-game schedule, you know, you're going to play all sorts of types of teams, and, you know, there's – you know, I think Buchanan is kind of unique, to be honest. You know, they, you know, as far as controlling tempo and trying to keep the scores low, and, you know, I think De La Salle up in the Bay Area is a team that we play that is probably the most similar just because they really run their stuff and, you know, like to play defensive battles. And, you know, De La Salle is a great program to be compared to, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a great comp. Buchanan only giving up 43 points a game this year. I know whenever I see scores with De La Salle, there's usually in the 50s, sometimes in the 40s. I know it's kind of a grinded-out game when you play against De La Salle. Let's focus on your team, Tom. You know, when you came on the show last time, I kind of, you know, tried to paint a picture for those that haven't seen them this year. You got 6'10", 6'10", 6'8". On the front line, backcourt obviously with the Price brothers. So just kind of what's your MO? You guys a full court defense? You guys like to trap? What's a snapshot?
Yeah, you know, I mean, defensively we play man to man 95% of the time, and it's usually just in the half court. I always say if you have good guards in high school basketball, you are going to win a lot of games, and you know we have three really good ones that have a ton of experience and played in Solid Arena. I mean, Joyce has played, this will be his fourth time playing there. Malcolm and Gunner, their third time playing there. And, I mean, they've got tons of minutes together in the backcourt. So, you know, we love our backcourt and our big guys. You know, we kind of tell them between the three of them, we want to have about 20 points and 15 rebounds. And if we get that, then we're going to be successful on most nights.
68%, I try to average it out as best as possible. 68% from the floor from those three big guys that I mentioned, 6'10", 6'10", and 6'8". Are most of those just kind of dishes from Price? Are they able to score a little bit from the perimeter, or what's their MO?
I don't think any of them have even shot a shot outside the key this year, which leads to those great percentages. So they know their role. They're going to get in there and rebound. You know, very aggressive on the offensive board. They'll, you know, each of them kind of has their own kind of unique style of play, and, you know, we kind of rotate them in as needed depending on, you know, who we're playing in the matchups. And, you know, all three of those big guys have done a great job for us.
All right, so let's talk about your backcourt and the Price brothers, Malcolm and Julius. Just how just effective are they on the court offensively and defensively? They got big bodies. They're super strong. They probably got big hands, right? And that's important in the game of basketball. So just what do they bring to the court, and why are they so effective?
You know, well, Julius is the older brother. He's about 6'3", 190, 195 pounds. And, yeah, he's got big hands and probably could have been a Division One, you know, football player as well, free safety or wide receiver. You know, he's just physical, knows the game, does a great job of, you know, taking what the defense gives him. Some nights, I think his career high this year was 39 against the team, but then there's some nights where he'll have 12, 13 assists. So he kind of does what's needed to win. His younger brother, Malcolm, is a little, you know, he played a little bit more point. We moved Julius off the ball a little bit this year. Malcolm probably got a little bit more quick twitch than his big brother. Shoots it equally as well. You know, both guys just kind of, I mean, they're brothers and they're very similar, but their games are a little bit unique, and we've been able to utilize both of them, and they play extremely well together. So it's a nice combo to have.
Tom, I'm curious on your feelings on Celand Arena, how it plays. You know, how much stock do you and your staff, you know, a little bit bigger court? I know you guys have played all around the world literally this year, but is that even a factor? You guys talk about that, the background, you know, even the side threes are a very difficult shot in that place. Do you put any stock in there, or just like, hey, it's still a game of basketball?
Yeah, I mean, we've, like you said, we played a bunch of places. There's actually a place in Arkansas we played with that was very similar to Celand. I mean, I think they're probably built about the same time before both of us were even born, and, you know, kind of got that same old school, you know, seats 8,000 to 9,000 people, and we went down there and played pretty well and shot it pretty well. And, you know, like you said, like our guys have played in gyms of all types, so, you know, just another gym with 10-foot baskets is all they're looking for.
Yeah, that's right. Is this week a long week for you? Do you wish that the semifinals were on a Tuesday? Do you have thoughts of that, or even a Wednesday?
Yeah, I mean, a mix. You know, with the semifinal game on Thursday, it adds another extra day. I mean, we gave our guys Friday, Saturday off, and obviously Sunday they don't practice. So we had a nice little 3-day weekend without basketball. They could just be kids for the weekend and not have to worry about scouting reports, getting shots up, or anything like that. So I think that helped immensely. Because at this point in the season, I mean, practice is not everybody's favorite thing to do. And, you know, most of the week, I mean, we're in there for an hour, hour and 15 minutes, just dialing, you know, just, you know, getting things cleaned up a little bit, but, and nothing too strenuous. So, you know, I get it. Like, you know, it takes a while to get everything prepared for the big weekend. And so we're fine. We're fine either way.
All right. Last question for you, Tom. The biggest key tonight, in tonight's game, what do you want to see early from your squad coming out to play Buchanan at 8 o'clock?
You know, I think one of our focuses is just attacking, you know, attack the basket, attacking them defensively, and just kind of play with that, you know, mentality that, you know, you got to take the first punch when you're in these big games.
All right, Tom. Excited for you guys. It's going to be a fun game. Looking forward to watching you guys play again. We'll be right there next to you. So be sure to say hi, and good luck tonight. Appreciate you.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you guys.
That's Tom Mott, head coach at St. Joseph tonight, Buchanan. And it's going to be a fun one. Excited to call that game. All right. We're going to take a break, and we're going to have Cooper Steele, the head girls basketball coach at Clovis High. They are trying to make history tonight as well as they take on the number 2 seed Clovis West Golden Eagles. It's already set up to be an instant classic. All right. Excited to hear from Cooper next on 1430 ESPN. Conversation with Coach Tom Mott from St. Joe's as they take on Buchanan. That's going to be the 8 o'clock game, but 6 o'clock before that, tons of storylines. And that one, it's a very highly anticipated matchup with Clovis and Clovis West. We have Cooper Steele on the line right now, basketball coach at Clovis High. It's a game we're going to be broadcasting. And I know Cooper can't wait. It's been a long week for him and the staff, and I know he's excited for this one tonight. But first of all, Coop, thanks for coming on. Last night's game with the boys capturing the D2 title. What did you enjoy most about watching that game?
I enjoyed just watching Coach Mayberry get one. coach is always, you know, he was my high school coach, and he's always kind of sacrificed for everyone else. He's always been a great lead assistant. He was my assistant at Buchanan, and clearly he could have been a head coach whenever he wanted to, but he's always sacrificed. He always wanted to give his full attention to his own kids and everyone else as players. He never wanted his own, you know, glory. So it was really cool to see him get one. I was really, really happy for Coach.
I thought they played and just about as well as they could play. They were firing on all phases. Like watching that game and just how they took it to Atascadero, especially on the defensive side, just how impressed with you were you with the boys' performance as far as what they did on the court?
Yeah, they're good players. They're great players. It's fun to watch them, and the coaching staff does a really good job of kind of letting them be them, I thought. They don't really try to corral them too much. They let them loose. They let them get to the rim, shoot a lot of shots. They have a different guy who hits threes each game. And I just really impressed with the freedom the coaching staff lets those guys have, and they took advantage of it. They played free, they played loose, and they look good.
Absolutely. All right. So the week leading up to this game tonight against Clovis West, what's kind of been the average number of hours that you've slept tonight? It's probably been one of the longest weeks of your life, correct?
Yes. It's very long. Luckily, we kind of had it last year, so we learned how to adapt to it. I think we've done a better job of preparing and getting rest and keeping everybody calm this year. So, but yeah, as far as sleep, not much.
I bet you've gone through the scouting report and film like what 47 times each, right? You're just ready to play the game. Everybody's prepared. Are the girls kind of saying the same thing? Like, oh, coach, all right, yeah, we get it. We're ready too.
I think so. You know, I think, like I said, we've done a pretty good job of breaking things down in a certain way. Like, you know, one day was all about our defense and you know, what they will do. One day was about our offense and what we will do to attack them. One day was about all baseline OBs. And one day was no scout, just shooting. We've had to really kind of work it out through the week. So it's different and it's fresh and it's new. So I think we did a pretty good job. I think the girls are fresh. They're excited. They're having a good day today and shoot around. About to have some lunch, so I think they're ready.
All right, what's on the agenda for lunch? What do you guys got?
Simple, turkey sandwiches. Simple, simple. Our amazing coach, Nikki Wilkinson, shopped for us, got us ready, got us simple stuff, some snacks, some fruit, some turkey sandwiches.
All right, turkey and cheese, that's the way to go. All right, what's been kind of the M.O.? Just philosophy-wise, going into this game, what are you and your staff been really preaching to the girls? Is it, you know, hey, we got a chance to make history, or hey, we got to execute this, or hey, forget, you know, about, you know, the play before, play the play in front of you. I don't know. What's kind of been the thing that you have been preaching the most this week?
Be you. Our motto this week and really the whole playoffs is be you. You know, what we have is enough. What we have is great. What we have is phenomenal. We can be you, be yourself, play your game. You don't have to be outside yourself. You don't have to do anything spectacular. Just do your job, play defense. You can do it. Be you. So we've said be you about 200 times this week.
What do you feel like is the comfortability factor compared from last year to this year as far as, you know, slowing the game down, being able to block out certain things? Is it a lot different, you feel like, coming into this tonight's game than last year?
Yeah, just because of the veterans. You know, Sadie and Yaz and Jalen and Taylor have played at Sellen. This will be their third time. Millie's played there. This will be her third time. So just kind of, I think the expectation to get there was different, and we wanted it, and we knew we could do it, so that was kind of the expectation. I think the only time we lost our cool a little bit was when we had the buzzer beater. Other than that, we kind of had a pretty calm expectation, and we knew where we wanted to be, and we've been working towards it.
I definitely want to get to that moment in just a second, but let's talk a little bit more about tonight. What's like one key factor that you feel like you have to perform really well tonight to win?
It's always the same, defense. You know, defense, We know they run so many sets. They run them really well. Craig has them extremely well prepared in there. They just do their stuff so well, and you can't slip up at all. If you forget when to do your job, when to switch, when to stay low, when to block out, they're going to punish you. So just play defense. You know, it's got to be full go the whole time. You can't let up or you'll get punished tonight.
So let's talk about your four-year starter, the engine of the team, Sadie Sinn. What's her makeup like that gives her so much success on the court? I mean, she had, 28 against that in your semifinal game, 16 in the fourth quarter, I believe. But what sets her apart and what's different about her?
You know, we were just talking about that with the team before. We were talking about, you know, how we got this opportunity and how we kind of created this opportunity. We went through everybody and we were talking about sacrifice. And, you know, some people aren't playing as much as last year, but they've sacrificed that and they've been there for the team. And Sadie's biggest sacrifice has been just her being a humble superstar. You know, I was walking in and she was in a dead sprint with her backpack, trying to make sure she was in there 15 minutes before, make sure she wasn't 1 second late. And, you know, as a superstar, that doesn't always happen, but she has been a great leader by example. She wouldn't allow herself to be 1 second late today because that's who she is. She's a humble superstar who wants what's best for the team. You know, what makes her different is if I gave her the opportunity of, hey, you're going to score 0 points, but we're going to win tonight, she would take it in a heartbeat. And that's what I love about Sadie.
That's fantastic. Couple more questions with Coach Cooper Steele. Biggest X factor in the game tonight is what?
Probably just who hits more shots. You know, I think there's not a lot of secrets between our program and theirs. And, you know, there's not a lot of trying to trick each other. It's just who's going to hit the big shots, who's going to knock down threes, who's going to hit free throws, who's going to finish at the rim. I think whoever makes those big shots will be on top tonight.
Let's talk about down underneath. I thought in your game against Clovis West, when you beat them at their place, I thought you guys did a fantastic job, not only inside, but rebounding and the putbacks and all that. Do you think that's going to be a big factor tonight, the inside play?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, always is. And that kind of gets to the toughness factor. Who's going to seal more? Who's going to hit each other on a block out? Who's going to hold their position? Who's going to finish through contact? Yeah, absolutely. And our post play is really good, and I think what we've grown as a team is our guard play has gotten a lot more patient. You know, it's easy to get sped up with a team like Clovis West and their pressure and their defense, but if we can stay calm, get the ball where it needs to go, and enter it correctly, we really like who we have down there with Amia and Gia and Millie at times to make the right play.
All right, so let's go back to that game against Central East. 1.9 seconds. Just kind of walk us through that moment, that viral moment that you had that won the game and won an outright track championship for us. Like, I don't know, let's go back into the huddle. I don't know, I saw all the TV spots and all the crazy interviews after the game, but just kind of go to the huddle, how you're able to set that up and even putting Yaz on that amazing throw.
Well, and that's it. You know, we feel pretty good about the way we put our players in their best positions. You know, we put players where they have the best chance to succeed. And we've known for 4 years that if we ever needed a 85-foot throw, it'd be Yasmin, the former softball player. You know, we've always known that. And we love that we have a Sadie Sinn, you know, looping through, because you got to send two or three people at her. And then we just knew Gia and Amia down there by the rim, good things happen. So, yeah, in the huddle it was, Yaz, you got to look deep. If it's open, throw it. If it's not, we got to loop Sadie through and hope for a foul or a prayer. And Yaz looked at me, and I was nodding big time, like, yes, throw it. And she threw a perfect pass. And the biggest part, I think, is Gia's ability to go get that ball. You know, if she stands and waits for that, they intercept it, game over. We're not where we are. But she went and got the ball. She went and found it, grabbed it two hands, and made a great pass to Amia inside.
Yep, that was a play that you're going to remember for a long time. You guys got a championship tonight to play. Coop, again, thank you for coming on. I know this is a busy day for you. It's going to be a lot of fun. 6 o'clock tonight against Clovis West. Appreciate you, and we'll see you tonight.
All right. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
All right. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to have some South Valley, some Tulare County action right now. Rossi coach Jeremy Gomez is coming on. His Cardinals, took care of business last night and won their first Central Section title in boys basketball since 1939. Crazy stuff. He's going to be a lot of fun to talk to. You're listening to him next on the Central Valley Sports Report on 1430 ESPN. Always fun when the basketball championships are here. This is, it's the 28th. It's the last day of February. And, it's fun when you go to Sellen Arena and you talk to a bunch of people that you haven't seen in a long time. And people come up to you and say, hey, what's going on? And, you know, it's almost like a big party, a big reunion. That's probably a better word for it. And it's just fun catching up with people and the room where the food is, a hospitality room, fun to hanging out in there. And it's pretty cool because they have posters of all the different Sound Arenas and the years and the dates that they played. And there are a lot in March, right? You know, it's been, I think, 3 years since the games were in late February. But it used to be in March and then state playoffs and all that stuff. But anyway, Sound Arena, just a fantastic weekend to catch up and watch the kids play basketball and then celebrate and, go up to meet Kevin Miller at the top and be interviewed and take pictures and all that good stuff that the Sound Arena has become. We got a great story right now for you guys to hear. We have Jeremy Gomez on the line. He's the head boys basketball coach at Orosi at Tulare County School. I am very familiar with the Cardinals won their first boys basketball championship since 1939. Defeated Charter Summit Collegiate Academy 57-42. Coach Gomez, you there? You on the line right now?
Yes, I am. Nice to be talking to you, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. All right, so true story. You sent me a picture along with our mutual friend, Dinuba football coach C.J. Lester. Were you out on the links this morning? Were you playing some golf? What's going on?
I was. I was out there at Ridge Creek with my brother this morning, 7 a.m. tee time.
So you're getting up early. So you win a championship, right? Obviously, it's a little bit early in the day, so you got some time to celebrate. And then you're up at, 6:30 to go hit the golf balls?
Yeah, something like that. I guess it's a competitor in me, and that's a way to compete against myself. It's such a great game. But, yeah, I mean, what better way to celebrate a championship than play some golf with my brother?
And it's good weather. How'd you shoot this morning? Were you on your game?
We figured out early we weren't going to worry about our scores. We just chased a few birdies and a few good shots and just talked about everything that happened. It was such a great night or such a good day and night. And, yeah, the golf was second to the conversation.
Absolutely. All right. So I had Clovis coach Lee Mayberry on, and I asked him this same very question I'm going to ask you right now. The first thing that popped into your mind when you woke up bright and early to play golf was what?
The first thing I thought was, man, we did it. We did it. To win a Valley Championship or to win a championship in general, you know, so many things got to go right. You got to be healthy. The stars kind of got to align, and it happened. We did it. And then I also thought about my boys. I hope they're happy, and I'm happy for them. And just, I mean, man, what a feeling. The smiles on their faces yesterday, that's what I was thinking about.
When the season began, did you know you had the makings of a really good team? Did you talk about Sound Arena before the season even started? What did that look like for you guys?
Absolutely. I took over 3 years ago, and in the very first meeting, introducing myself to all of the players that were currently in the program and were planning on trying out for the program, I wrote one word on the whiteboard, and it was just selling. And that was about 45, 50 kids in the room, and not a single one outside of one senior knew what that meant. And, you know, he raised his hand and he was like, isn't that where they play the Valley Championship games? And I said, absolutely. And that's where this program is headed. And three years later, not only were we there, but we were able to see it through and actually get the win. And specifically this team, absolutely. We had Michael Corrales last year. He had a knee surgery, so he sat out his entire junior year. We knew he was gearing up for a big senior year. Ramiro, been building into him since his sophomore year. It's his senior year. And then James, our big. We just knew, if we were going to win one in the near future, it was going to be this year. So absolutely, we knew we had what it took to be a champion this year.
When do you feel like the team really bought into that? So you mentioned a bunch of kids that wanted to try out, wanted to be part of the program. You wrote selling on the board and they're like, oh yeah, I think I know what that is, but I'm not really sure. But when do you feel like they really got it and understood that that could be something that could be accomplished?
I want to say the buy-in happened pretty quickly with the current seniors that I had 3 years ago. And as far as the belief that we can actually become a championship team, I want to say it started to take place in year two in our summer league. We would play in Dinuba and we would play on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And we played up. We played against some tough competition. You know, we're a small D6 school and we were giving them, a run for their money and we were competing and we're kind of getting under some people's skins like, hey, the Rose, you should not be, in this game right now. And, our boys were able to kind of look around and see, hey, we are good, and when we do apply, everything that coach is asking in the system, we're effective. And I want to say going into year two, we knew we were capable and we were on our way and the buy-in was there. We would have liked to get a better seating with last year's group. We were the only D6 school to be in the D5 bracket, which made it a little tough, but it was what it was. But as far as the buy-in to answer your question, it was there pretty quickly.
Did a lot of your players play, again, only your third year? So what does AAU look like with Arosi High School? Are you guys in a developmental league? Or how far down do you know this program as far as grade-wise?
So when I took over the program, I had been teaching in the district for 2 years. And I'm currently teaching at the middle school. I'm a sixth-grade PE teacher there. And I took over, and the AD asked me, my junior high AD asked me to coach the eighth grade team. And I was like, yeah, sure. Why not? I'll do it. And we have tryouts and we build a team and I'm like, well, these kids are good. They're very talented. And, I asked them and starting to get to know them and, they didn't have AAU. They haven't had AAU for quite some time there. And it's rec ball up until about fifth grade. And then after that, if they're going to play basketball, it's in middle school. And so I said, let's build it out to where the middle school coaches, my JV coach at the high school and my varsity assistant coach is my brother. And we just built it down all the way down to the middle school and said, all right, they're going to be receiving the same coaching, the same lingo, the same system, from the bottom or from sixth, seventh and eighth grade all the way up till they get to us. So when I first took over, the structure wasn't quite there, but it's pretty cool to see where it is now.
Yeah, you're literally building up the program there at Arosi High School. Talk with Jeremy Gomez, the head boys basketball coach at Arosi. All right, so let's get into some specifics of the game. You're familiar with the team. You had played Summit Charter in the past this year. What was kind of the game plan going into that one?
We played, they're in our league, so we played them twice and we lost to them at their place. They played an outstanding game. They shot the ball real well. We turned it over quite a bit. And then it was a quick turnaround. We played them 2 days later at our place and, we won comfortably. We took care of business and it was a huge difference in just the way we took care of the ball and the way we played defense. And so that was kind of the theme going into this game was, guys, just take care of the basketball because we're capable of creating good to great looks on every single possession. And if we do that, we like our chances. And then defensively, they have a point guard named Sean. He was the MVP of our league. He's a fantastic player. And we kind of just said, look, if we can bottle him up, that'll help our chances significantly. And then we also said we need to run kids off the three-point line. I think our goal was zero catch-and-shoot threes. I mean, that's tough to do. But I think we limited them to four. And even attempted threes total, I think they shot less than 10. So the boys just did a really good job of executing the game plan.
So that was actually your last loss of the year. That was back on February 5th. You guys lost to them by three, and then you mentioned the win, and you guys are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You guys have won 8 in a row, including last night to capture the D6 Central Section Championship. How nervous were you and the boys going into the game at Selland Arena? Did you kind of treat it as just any other game? Did you hype them up? Just kind of talk about what it was like when you guys took the court.
With the long week that we had to prepare, as far as myself, I kind of drove myself crazy just thinking of the things that could go wrong. but I just wanted to make sure I communicated to the boys that as long as we take care of business, as long as we trust, the work that we put in and trust that each individual on this team just needs to be themselves, that, we'd prevail and we'd be the better team on that night. And although the stage is bright and the lights are bright and all that stuff, it's a basketball game at the end of the day. And if we play good, we always like our chances. And so that's really the message that we were preaching to them all week was, we set a goal to get here and not only get here, but to win. And we have an opportunity and let's go get it done. So I don't think they showed very much nerves. They were ready to go, man. They're a fun group.
Yeah, they're absolutely getting after it. What point in the game, Coach, did you think, dang, we're playing good, I think we got this? Or did you not let yourself breathe until maybe you put in some subs or the clock hit zero? But was there a specific play that you're like, oh man, everything's clicking, I think this is going to go our way?
It was a little bit of an up and down game as far as early on. We built like a 7-point lead, I think, and then they made a run. They took a 1-point lead, and then we answered with back to back threes that kind of put it back up to 5, and we never really let the lead get smaller than that. But it's funny. I asked my brother the same question this morning. Was, hey, when did you think we're champs? We got it. And his answer was exactly mine, was Romero, he had 2 and-ones in the fourth quarter. And when he had that second one, it's kind of like, all right, this it's happening. We did it. And it was, I don't know, two minutes to go in the fourth quarter, I believe. And it was cool to look around and, hear the chants and look at the smiles on the boys on the bench. It was cool to see.
Yeah, I was there from that moment. I was standing next to your former athletic director, Ken Sawatsky, who he was really proud because he's like, that right there, that was my final hire before I retired. So he was pretty proud of that moment.
Yeah, yeah, Ken. And he's actually unretired. He's back. He's been our interim AD as of now until our new hire is able to hop on board. But he's got a ring.
He's got a ring, is right. What was the locker room like? Did they throw water on you or anything? Did they tackle you? What'd they do?
Oh man, it was just a whole lot of smiles, a lot of hugs, a lot of screaming, yelling, jumping around. I tell the kids all the time, look, guys, you know me, I probably talk way more than you guys like to listen, and I'll just keep it short and sweet. I just told them thank you, and then It was real cool for them to just immediately turn it right back around and tell me thank you as well. And it was just a cool feeling. For myself, I was able to just really say, look, it's about the kids. It's about the kids. It's not about me at all. It's not about any of the adults in here. And I was able to just look at them, just watch their reactions to each other, the hugs that they're giving each other, the handshakes. That was cool for me to see.
That's cool. And also behind you, literally it seemed like the whole town of Orosi was there. You know, they went to the championship game in football against Minarets, and we were able to broadcast that game. And just to see the community support, what do you think it means to the community of Orosi that you guys are bringing home a boys basketball championship?
I think it's awesome. I think it's a good way for the youth to be able to say, you know what, we can set lofty goals, and as long as you work hard, you can achieve anything. I mean, hadn't been done in 87 years. So, I mean, if you have a goal in life that you want to accomplish, you want to be the first to graduate college, you want to, you know, do whatever it is in life. If it hasn't been done in generations in your family, you can get it done. And that's exactly what I've been telling the boys, and they've been pretty influential to, like I said, the youth. They're pretty close to the JV team and even the junior high team, and the community was able to rally behind us, which was cool. But like I said, the immediate impact would definitely be on the student athletes that all know each other. It's a small community, so everybody plays multiple sports. Everybody's cousins and friends, and I think it's a good way to influence all the athletes in the community for sure.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about where you grew up, because you're a Dinuba guy, like me, right through and through. Yep. But you traded in the Dinuba green. I'm an Emmanuel guy though too, so hey, don't hate me that much. But traded in the green for Dinuba to the Orosi red, the Cardinal red. What was that like for you? Was it a tough transition, or you still bleed green a little bit?
I mean, I'm always. I feel like, you know, if anybody ever bleeds green, they'll never stop bleeding green. But to me, when I first got the opportunity, I always said the O stood for opportunity. And Orosi gave me the opportunity, and I'm just making the most of it. I would have done whatever I'm doing now anywhere, and that's just work as hard as I possibly could.
All right, good stuff here. One last question for you. State playoffs, right? I mean, the season's not over. You're still going to have a state playoff run. Are you just like, hey, this is pure gravy? We might go on the road, have a good experience. What do you think about state playoffs right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I mean, I talked to you about, you know, goals that we set for the program, and it was selling, and it was to win at the selling, and it was to get rings for these boys. And anything that goes beyond after that is we're on borrowed time, and you know, what a better group to extend well beyond anything that we thought of to do it with these guys right here. So looking forward to it. We get to practice again on Monday. I get to be around the boys again. It's cool. Whatever comes with it, we're gonna receive it with open arms. It's house money. It's more time with each other is the way we're going to look at it.
All right. Hey, great perspective. Hey, congrats again. Good meeting you yesterday. Thanks for jumping on and talk about your program and what that means to the community of Orosi. All right, Jeremy, have a good rest of the week, my friend. Talk to you soon.
Thank you. Appreciate your time, Paul.
You bet. All right. Yeah, fun. Good stuff. You always like to hear those stories. I like that, right? He's like, hey, 3 years ago when I took over the program, I wrote Selland on the board in front of the boys, and they didn't even know what that meant, right? Only one kid said, is that where they play the championship game? So the dreams now became a reality as they win the D6 championships. All right, we got a couple minutes here. Let's go over a little bit more of a preview of some of the games that we haven't talked about for tonight. I mentioned a little bit about the Santa Maria and Kalinga game. That's a 1-2. Now, Santa Maria is putting up a lot of points. They're averaging 93 points in their last 7 games. They scored 103 in their semifinal game against California City. Kalinga, a 26-5, just a stellar record. That town has had some really good programs. Think about their football program the last couple years. So that's going to be a good one. That's going to be tipping off in a few minutes. Yeah, it's 11:57 right now, 12 o'clock in that one. Emmanuel Girls against Shafter. Lauren LeBeau going for his third straight Central Section Championship. Like I said earlier, I think they're a fifth, sixth, maybe seventh best team in the Central Section. They are that good. I'm going to be checking that one out at 2 o'clock. And the three boys game, I haven't talked enough about that one, at 4 o'clock. So a battle of 27 and 4 teams. Familiar with each other a little bit. They both played in the Poly tournament in Visalia. Mark Hatton done an amazing job with the Tulare program. Josh Bergman in only his fourth year at the helm. We know the good guards for Tulare. I think the bigger court at Selden Arena is going to play a factor in that one. Those Division I guys are amazing. Stevenson and Dimash, Riley. You know, but CVC, they're different. They remind me a little bit of Atascadero last night in their sets, in their sharing of the basketball. Obviously, Clovis High played a phenomenal game and beat them, but that's what I feel like with Central Valley Christian. They know what they're up against. They know how talented. They know that that Tulare is way more athletic than them, but they just kind of have a way. I think that's going to be a tight game going into the fourth quarter. It's going to be a really fun one. And then, of course, the number one, Division One, I should say, game at 6 o'clock. Talk with Cooper Steele, Clovis West, just tons of storylines. The streak, 13 in a row for Clovis West, 13 Central Section championships in a row. I mean, that's three off the state record by St. Mary's. That's going to be a great one. We're going to have a 14:30 ESPN. And then the St. Joe's and Buchanan game. You know, St. Joe's is obviously favored. Buchanan not ranked in the top 25 in the state. St. Joe's sitting at number 4. Buchanan knows what they're up against, right? Tall front line, incredible guards. But that defense from Buchanan plays really, really good. They're going to have to rebound tonight. That's going to be a huge key. They're going to have to rebound, and they're going to have to hit some shots from the outside, obviously, open some things up. It's gonna be a good day of basketball. I hope you guys are able to tune in. If you're not there at Selden, make sure you tune in and listen to both the broadcasts. All right, that is a wrap for today's show. Thanks to First String Sports for hosting, as always. Thanks to Fresno and Clovis Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram. Joe Gomez for producing the show, and Chase for stepping in and doing a great job making some phone calls for us. Phil Bonatti, Lee Mayberry, Tom Mott, Cooper Steele, and Jeremy Gomez. Have a great rest of the week, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon.